This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the equipment to do the job right and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
At Smokey Jennings Chevrolet, the 2012s are driving off the lot. With over 40 new Chevrolets sold in September, the selection is getting thin. Take the 2012 Corvette Grand Sport, stock number C385, or the 2012 four-wheel drive extended cab Silverado, stock number C343. Get the one you want at a great Smokey Jennings discount. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, where they're not just about trucks, they're about community since 1946.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 853 and a quarter, up 5 1/4. March wheat trading at 866, up 5 3/4. December corn trading at 742 and a half, up 4 1/4. March corn trading at 742 and 3/4, up 4 1/2. November soybeans now trading at 1496 and 3/4, up 3. January beans trading at 14.96, up 3 1/4. The overnight crude oil market, 12 cents higher at 92.21. The Brent crude, 14 cents lower at 113.86. The December gold contract, $4.60 higher at $1,750.90. The U.S. dollar index, 0.333 lower at 79.072. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, December wheat closed at 847 and 3/4, down a half. March wheat ended at 860 and a quarter, down a quarter. May wheat ended at 864, unchanged. December corn yesterday ended at 738 and a quarter, up one. March corn ended at 738 and a quarter, up one. May corn ended at 732 and 3/4, also up a penny. November beans ended at 14.93 and 3/4, up 1 1/4. January beans ended at 14.92 and 3/4, up a penny. And March beans ended at 14.68 and 3/4, up 2 3/4. December soybean meal yesterday ending at 452.80, down 33. January meal 446.60, down 32. And March meal 435.90, down 9. December soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.47, up 46. January oil 50.85, up 45. And March oil 51.34, up 44. And December oats yesterday 392 and a half, up 4 1/2. March oats ending at 393 and 3/4, up 2 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Soybean futures gained strength from positive export news. Today, the USDA announced the sale of 110,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to an unknown destination. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny higher at 714 to 732. Soybean bids are steady to a penny stronger at 1461 to 1472. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly a penny higher at 727 to 745, while soybean bids were mostly 1 to 3 stronger at 1476 to 1489. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to a penny higher at 732 to 750. Soybean bids ended mixed at 1474 to 1485, and the wheat bids mostly steady at 811 to 828. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids ended mixed at 1499 to 1509, with basis steady to 5 cents lower at 5 to 15 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis ended mixed to range from 462.80 to 475.80. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up a penny at 743 to 753, with basis steady at 5 to 15 over December. And dried distiller grains today ended steady, ranging from 265 to 295 per ton. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted those producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents stronger at 728 to 730, with basis up 1 to 2 cents at 10 to 8 under December. Soybeans were ended 1 cent higher at 1487, that's 1487 to 1489, with basis steady at 7 to 5 under November. And the wheat bids for July 13 delivery ended steady today at 799 to 803. As basis was also steady at 34 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids steady at 708 to 736. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by a penny, with quotations at 1499 to 1509. And soft red winter wheat fell 1 cent down to 827 to 828, while the Milo ended steady at 707 to 708. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. January corn bids range from 720 up to 734. January soybean bids at 1462 to 1480. In central Illinois, January corn bids at 733 to 758. January soybean bids at 1485 to 1503. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 753 to 766. January soybean bids at 1478 to 1505, and wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, they range from 783 to 808. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, December hogs ended at 78.60, up a nickel. February hogs, 84.42, down 15. April hogs, 89.95, unchanged. October cattle yesterday, 125.55, up $1.40. December cattle, 126.67, up 70. February cattle, 130.42, up 55. October feeder cattle yesterday, 146.10, up $1.75. November feeders, 147.72, up 217. January feeders ended at 149.60, up 235. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Tuesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 3,760 head today. They're trading 12 pennies higher from $70 to $80.31 with a weighted average of $80.09. And in Illinois today, there was 13,171 head of bears and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a hog carcass was down 7 cents today at $87.79. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report, sows traded $2 to $5 higher, with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 34 to 38, 4 to 5 weights from $36 to $40, and over 500 pounds from 40 to 45. Illinois Direct bears and gilts were $1 to $2 higher today from $55 to $60. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Tuesday, hogs are at 433,000 on the day. That's down 1,000 from last week, but up 7,000 from a year ago. Cattle are at 127,000 on the day. That's unchanged from last week, but down 4,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 127 fabricated loads and 47 trim loads. Choice carcasses are up $1.14 at $1.9510, while selects are up $1.67 at $1.80.56, leaving the choice select spread at $14.54. And at the Shelbyville Livestock Auction, the opening report for Tuesday, they estimate 355 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are steady to 50 cents higher, while Holstein steers are fully one better. Choice steers from $1.20 to $1.25, while select and choice cattle are at $1.13.25 to $1.18. Choice Holsteins from $1.11 to $1.15.75, and choice heifers from $1.19 to $1.22. At the weekly hay auction in Arthur, they had alfalfa small squares premium quality at $6.50 to $8.75 a bale, large squares at $95 a bale, small squares good quality at $4.50 to $4.60 a bale, utility quality at $2. Alfalfa mixed grass small squares good quality at $3.75 to $5.75 a bale. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter. $1.80 and 3/4, down 5.5. For block cheese, $2.01, down 9. And for barrel cheese, $1.97, down 9. And the spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday, $21.05. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.22. For November, $7.24. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.22, and for November, $7.24. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $14.83, and for November, $15. Wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $7.97. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.22, corn at Scottville, $7.22, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.83. Wheat at Scottville, $7.97. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. Brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. By Farm Credit Services of Illinois. And by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather. Brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Get more from every acre by using Micro Essentials fertilizer with patented Fusion technology. Only Micro Essentials combines vital nutrients in one uniquely formulated, nutritionally balanced granule, creating a single source for balanced crop nutrition. The unique chemistry of Micro Essentials ensures optimum nutrient distribution and that all-important nutrient uptake for increased yields across every acre.
M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Becoming cloudy later on today with a chance of showers, the high about 70 degrees with south winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy and cooler with showers likely, low temperatures in the low 40s. Tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy and windy, high temperatures in the low 60s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy, low temperatures in the mid to the upper 40s, highs in the low 60s. Right now, south winds at 10 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 58 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
If you want new flooring before the holidays, you need to head to Quality Flooring for 25-ounce nylon carpet with three colors to choose from, just $11.79 per square yard, including 8-pound pad. That's right, just $11.79 per square yard, including the 8-pound pad. The new building on Route 16 is going up fast, but for now, head to their temporary location on Route 4 just south of McKay Napa Auto Parts in Gillespie. Quality you can stand on.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, in our farm news today, here's the weekly crop condition report. We join David Ward of the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Cooler temperatures and scattered showers continued across the state for the week. Temperatures averaged 50.7 degrees, which was 5.2 degrees below normal. Precipitation for the week averaged 1.13 inches. And topsoil moisture supplies are currently being reported at 12% very short, 23% short, 61% adequate, and 4% surplus. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile came in at 30% very short, 43% short, 26% adequate, and 1% surplus. There were a total of 5.1 days suitable for field work. Corn harvest advanced by 7 percentage points to 87% complete. This compares to only 60% last year and 53% for the 5-year average. Soybean harvest finished the week at 69% complete, compared to 66% a year ago and 60% for the 5-year average. In other crops around the state, pasture conditions were rated at 29% in very poor to poor condition, 37% in fair condition, and 34% in good to very good condition. Sorghum harvest is now 57% complete, compared to 58% 1 year ago and 50% for the 5-year average. Fall seeding of winter wheat advanced to 46% planted, which compares to 57% 1 year ago and 48% for the 5-year average. 11% of the wheat crop is now being reported as emerged. This has been David Ward with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Last week, the supply and demand report sent commodity prices sharply higher for a day. They then retreated and are continuing to slide, and Arlen explains.
Well, I think we have to put this in the backdrop of the overall commodity complex. Right now, the economic conditions of the world, with China's economy slowing and Europe in distress and the U.S. economy very sluggish, fund managers do not see this as a time that's conducive to own the commodity complex as a whole. So they have that mindset. They sold off the commodities, the grains particularly heavy, going into the September 28th and again the October 11th USDA crop reports, fearing bearish reports. We did not get bearish reports. We actually got somewhat supportive reports. We got the big sigh of relief rally for a day, but then both times the selling resumed once again. Couple of things at work. First of all, we had Dodd-Frank had provisions in it requiring swaps to be treated as futures contracts, and the deadline for that to happen was last Friday, the day after the crop report. So there's a lot of selling ahead of that, trying to get positioned for it. And in that process, it turned the charts overall bearish or negative, telling the funds that they needed to be in a sell mode. The other thing is the funds, which had accumulated big profits over the summer trading this drought, are thinking, you know, the drought news is over. It's time to move on. So even though we got supportive crop reports, it was one of these things where there was nothing to convince them, though, that this had changed the long-term dynamics.
You know, the drought you just mentioned, it seems to me that thinking is kind of flawed because the results of this drought will be with us for a couple, 2 or 3 years, won't it?
Absolutely, and I would agree with you, and I would agree that the fundamentals are still quite supportive, and especially in soybeans, it's particularly easy to show that demand still exceeds supply, the anticipated supply. And I could argue it in corn as well, but it's more difficult to prove that because such a large sector of it is feed usage, which we only measure once every quarter, every 3 months in the stocks report. So it's hard to keep that focus, but fund managers look at the commodities like they trade the equities. If you trade some news for a while, then it's already factored in. It's time to move on. It's not a zero-sum game like it is in the grains where demand cannot exceed supply. So it's the whole mindset. Eventually, the cash market, if the futures doesn't, the cash market will do the job. And that's what we're really seeing play out already in the corn, and I think eventually will in the soybeans. Although I think the soybean futures will eventually respond.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Coming up Thursday evening, an open house for a new 2,480-head wean-to-finish hog operation will be held at the Klaus Family Farm north of Carlinville. It starts at 4:30. We talked to Tim Mayers of the Illinois Pork Producers, and he tells us what will happen.
Yeah, this is a very special event. The Illinois Pork Producers is helping sponsor a hog farm open house and ribbon cutting ceremony for the David and Mary Claus family and the David and Jane Dunn family. They're just a few miles outside Carlinville, and they will be opening a new 2,480-head wean-to-finish hog barn. And we've done these open houses around the state. Really, it's a chance to highlight the families that are behind these buildings. A lot of times that people don't realize the families and the stories that are behind these buildings. So it's a chance to highlight the family as well as recognize the fact that, you know, we do have a business continuing on in the community and adding to the economic tax base and being a you know a, consumer of corn and soybeans, and you know, a very good economic engine in the local community. So it's a chance to have a ribbon cutting and celebrate the fact that this is a very important business in our rural communities, and a chance to highlight the family as well. So it is Thursday, October 18th. We'll start at around 4:30. We'll have the ribbon cutting at 5 o'clock, and then we will have a free pork chop and pork burger meal that will follow, and folks can come and enjoy a pork chop and a pork burger there in the hog barn. So it's kind of neat to get to eat in the hog barn before the pigs move in, and then can kind of take a self-guided tour of the hog barn and see some of the new technology we're using for animal care, environmental stewardship, and just really learn more about modern pork production.
And you know, it seems like to me it's a big toss of the dice for this family to want to expand their operation and the faith they have in the industry itself in these troubling times.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's definitely a big investment on their part, and you know, they are working with another local farmer in this, so it's kind of a neat story in how Phil Borgic from the Tacoma area is involved in the project as well too. So it's a good example of how farmers are working together to try to get, you know, work on these work during these uncertain times and work together to continue to raise pigs and produce pork for people in this country and around the world. And so it is a project that they've been working on for a while. A lot of planning has went into this and a lot of thought. So this is not something that gets done just overnight. So there's been a lot leading up to this point, and so it's kind of that point where it's finally ready to get ready to put pigs in. And before they do that, we're going to open it up and have people have a chance to get inside and see what it looks like. So if you've never been inside a modern pig barn before, this is a good chance to get inside, see what they look like, and enjoy a delicious pork chop and pork burger as well.
That was Tim Mayers of the Illinois Pork Producers. A delegation has just returned from the Far East trying to boost red meat exports from the United States Meat Export Federation. Joe Sheely reports.
USMEF President and CEO Philip Tsang has just returned from the Greater China region, where he examined market conditions for U.S. beef and pork. Beef exports to Taiwan had been slumping this year, but Tsang says buyer interest has been rejuvenated by a policy change regarding rectopamine use.
I was in Taiwan just after the MRL was announced for rectopamine. The enthusiasm by the trade there to procure our product was amazing as far as the beef side is concerned. And I'm really impressed with how rapid it's been as far as the major retailers, the major food service establishments, high-end hotels, chilled campaigns. All this is coming back in a very, very fast fashion. So I think that says a lot about the framework and the base that's been set in Taiwan as far as the safety of our product. And even though we've had some storms, we've done very, very well.
Despite a slowdown in economic growth in mainland China, Tsang sees tremendous opportunities there for U.S. pork and for U.S. beef if market access can be regained.
They're opening up a new Kentucky Fried Chicken every 13 hours in China. McDonald's is opening up every 36 hours in China. So as you know, we don't have access with beef to China. And obviously this is something that's of paramount importance because that's still a market, even though the numbers are sounding slow at 8% growth, it's still a very dynamic market and we need to be part of that growth henceforth. One of the things on this trip that we tried to underscore when we met with officials there is that we actually need more transparency in that market so we can see and understand better when China is going to need more pork, because when China goes into the market to buy pork, it affects the world price. It's huge. They consume half the world's pork. But I did notice on this trip that a lot of the pork that we're exporting is not just going into the strategic reserve. It's actually going out into commerce as it comes into the market. And that's very, very encouraging. So there's change that's going on there. Again, it's not as fast as we would like it, but the opportunity in China still is pretty comprehensive when you take a look at it.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
Nearly 17,000 students joined FFA during the 2011-2012 school year, raising the organization's total membership to more than 557,000 students in grades 7 through 12 in the United States, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. National FFA Organization CEO Dwight Armstrong credits the hard work, dedication, and commitment of agriculture teachers and state FFA leaders for the growing interest in agricultural education. He says FFA members are developing skills through educational and real-world experiences. that will ideally position them to pursue one of more than 300 careers in agriculture. The top five largest FFA membership states are Texas, California, Georgia, Missouri, and Oklahoma. FFA chapters were in 18 of the 20 largest U.S. cities, including New York City, Chicago, and Philadelphia. Illinois researchers are launching a project to inventory soil nitrate levels in hopes of fine-tuning nitrogen recommendations for the 2013 crop year. They're asking ag retailers and certified crop advisors to collect soil samples from customers' fields and to submit them for testing. The project is being done by the Illinois Council on Best Management Practices in coordination with the University of Illinois Extension Specialists Emerson Nofziger and Fabian Fernandez. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat now trading at 8.52, up 4.25. March wheat trading at 8.65.5, up 5.25. December corn trading at 7.42, up 3.75. March corn trading at 7.42.5, up 4.25. November soybeans trading at 14.96, up 2.25. January beans trading at 14.95, up 2.25. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.